May it please the Court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Sean Raven. The unambiguous language of 38 U.S.C. section 7252B clearly limits the evidence which can be considered by the Veterans Court. As a result, under the correct interpretation of section 7252B, the sanctions imposed by the Veterans Court cannot stand.
If in fact there's a limitation on what the Veterans Court can consider for purposes of a merits determination,
Yes. You
think that that is what limits their ability to consider that information for purposes of a sanctions limitation?
That was the basis of the complaint that was filed by the VA during the course of the litigation. And it seems to me that that complaint asserted that Mr. Raven had violated his ethical obligation to be candid to the court about something that was prohibited by statute from being considered.
So what you're saying is we can lie to the court as long as that lie doesn't affect the merits.
No, Your Honor. And I don't think it's fair to characterize Mr. Raven's response in his pleading as a lie. The difficulty is that the way in which this was presented by the government was attempting to work around the limitation of 7252B.
Well, I don't disagree that that's probably the case.
No.
But why couldn't he have just said, even if that's true, it's not pertinent to this proceeding? And the court can't consider it. The Federal Circuit has said the court can't consider that information in this particular proceeding.
That is clearly the way that he should have responded, Your Honor. He was confronted with a situation which he didn't know how to say to the court that this matter could not be considered because, as he read the rule, it didn't exist. It didn't exist because it wasn't before the board. Now, I'm not sure that that was the appropriate way to read 7252, and that the more appropriate way would have been, as you suggest, to simply say to the court that the attempt to discuss matters that weren't before the board at the time of the board's decision precludes the court from any consideration
right.
of any matter.
That's the problem, is that that's not what he said. And then when he had a chance to fix it, he sort of doubled down on it. And so the problem is now we've got a discretionary decision by the Veterans Court that they believe that he made a direct misrepresentation instead of arguing a legal point, which he could have argued.
But I don't think that that's what was the basis for the decision below. I think the basis for the decision below was based exclusively upon Soulsby, that Mr. Raven had an affirmative duty to bring this matter to the attention of the court. And he had no such duty. There was no duty on the part of Mr. Raven to bring the matter to the attention of the court.
I don't understand that response. I thought that the decision was below was that he was sanctioned for a lack of candor based on misrepresentations to the court. I don't think that it was a curative requirement as much as it was an affirmative, you made misrepresentations to the court. In his reply brief, he made misrepresentations to the court, quite dramatic ones. Because he went so far as to say, let's see, well, I'm not going to impugn the honesty of the secretary. However, there's no evidence anything was filed in this record. There's no evidence they ever adjudicated anything. They didn't, I mean, that's wow. When he already knew it had already been adjudicated, to even throw in their honesty and impugning the secretary into that mixture, that's worse than just saying there's nothing in this record. This is a tough one, Mr. Carpenter.
I beg your pardon?
This is a tough one for you.
Well, it is a tough one, Your Honor, but it is one in which...
Because you dance around sometimes in your cases, but I've never seen you do something like this.
Not sure how to respond to that, Your Honor.
Take it as a compliment.
It was meant that way,
okay.
Though I accept that it may not fully... Like, it was meant as a compliment.
But the point where... Judge Moore started, I think, is important because you do spend a lot of time in your brief about the duty of candor, and you say, understandably, how can I have an obligation to tell them about something that's not in the record and that they're not even allowed to consider. But that's not what they relied upon. They were not looking at the duty of candor. They actually said knowingly making a false statement. That's the model rule that they cite.
Correct, Your Honor. But the basis for the complaint by the VA was on the failure of candor to the court.
Okay.
And then the court, in saying that there was something misleading said, relied upon a provision that doesn't exist. There is no provision for him to come forward and advise the court. Now, they say in the, I believe it's in the concluding paragraph or the paragraph before their conclusion, that they rely upon the recommendation of the committee based upon the decision in Soulsy. And the Soulsy decision is one that places an affirmative duty to come forward with information that you have knowledge about. Now, under 7252B, there is no duty on the part of either party to come forward with that information.
There's a difference between coming forward and saying, oh, yeah, by the way, they already adjudicated this, and saying five separate times something pretty close to it hasn't been adjudicated. I realize he couched it as, well, there isn't evidence in this record that it's been adjudicated. But then he said, there's no guarantee the VA would adjudicate his entitlement to TDIU. They already had. But for him to say there's no guarantee they would adjudicate it when he knew they had already adjudicated it it's just too much. There's so many of them. And besides it, how is that within our jurisdiction? Any of this kind of discussion?
I don't believe any of that kind of discussion is within your jurisdiction, Your Honor. What is within your jurisdiction is the clear conflict here between 7252B and the mandate of Soulsy. This decision by the court
below. But Soulsy is not the only thing they rely upon. Yes, they cite to Soulsy, but they also cite to Model Rule 3.3A1, the ABA Model Rules of Professional Conduct, prohibiting an attorney from knowingly making a false statement of fact or law to a tribunal.
But it can't be a knowing misstatement of fact or law because it wasn't in the record. That was what was tried to be.
If you stood up here and told me you were a lawyer and a member of our bar and tried to argue a case, are you telling me that if our clerk ran in and said, no, he's not a member of the bar, I wouldn't be allowed to consider that? I'd have to let you keep going, and I couldn't sanction you even for having made the misrepresentation because technically that's outside the record?
No, Your Honor. But the point is that this happened in the course of litigation. There was an ongoing appeal in which the VA was trying to do an end around to avoid the concession that they had made in their brief that, in fact, the issue had been raised and the board ignored that issue. That was a clear error of law by the board. That was the end of that appeal.
Yes, but when it comes to deciding whether an attorney should be sanctioned for something improper he does in the courtroom, you know, whether it's, you know, throw a pen at the judge or make a misrepresentation to the judge, under all of the circumstances, I don't see why the merit-based statute that limits you in terms of deciding cases to the record ought to apply to whether or not the court should sanction that attorney for their misbehavior. Why?
Because there was no... The canon that Judge O'Malley just referred to requires a knowing misrepresentation of law or fact. He didn't knowingly misrepresent the fact that it was not in the record before the board.
Well, that part, I'll give you, that when he said it's not in the record,
yeah,
that was correct.
And
but when he said, and it didn't happen.
And that, frankly, goes too far, but...
But
it goes too far factually. It doesn't go too far in terms of making a misrepresentation to the court, knowingly saying something false about the content of the record, Your Honor. And that's what 7252 is about. 7252, Congress mandated that the record that was going to be considered by the Veterans Court was going to be limited to the record that was before the board, and that the VA was not going to be allowed on appeal to do precisely what they tried to do in this appeal. And then this court, when it was appealed to this court, reversed that decision.
I completely get that. I mean, it was pretty obvious that what the government did, what the VA did, was wrong. Having said that, the response should have been, this is completely inconsistent with what they're allowed to do. It's completely inconsistent with what you can review, and it's completely inconsistent with what the Federal Circuit said. But that's not what he did.
I understand. But that's not a knowing misrepresentation that violates that canon. That canon requires a knowing misrepresentation of law or fact.
Okay, so
the law was that it couldn't have been in the record, and the fact was it wasn't in the record.
Right. If the question is, does it constitute a knowing misrepresentation of fact or not,
yes.
Isn't that a decision that the Veterans Court gets to make? That's applying facts to law?
If 7252...
That we don't have jurisdiction to review?
If 7252B did not exist, that would be correct. But this case does not exist in a vacuum. This case happened in the course of an appeal that was over when the VA conceded that the board had made an error. That should have been the end of the matter. The VA's manipulation of 7252 successfully got Judge Davis in the first decision to decide that, oh, it was just a harmless error. This court correctly pointed out that, no, that's not part of the harmless error analysis because it wasn't in the record. You went beyond the record. That's what the VA invited the court to do and what the court did. Now, what Mr. Raven did was to inartfully say to the court, it's not in the record.
Mr. Kramer, let me ask you, I have one question. This case was all decided on the papers. There wasn't any oral argument.
Oh, correct, Your Honor. No. Yes, it was single judge.
Would it be a different situation if, in fact, he'd been in oral argument and had been asked by the court? As you know, happens from time to time. This probably happened to you in this courtroom. One or more judges have asked you, because of a particular case, by the way, what's the status of the proceedings down before the VA or the board? And if he'd been asked at that point and had said what he said here, what would your position be? If the judge had said, all right, I understand we're having argument on these papers, what is the status of proceedings? I want to know.
If he were asked by a judge directly whether or not this decision had in fact been made, independent of whether it was in the record or not, then to represent otherwise would have been a violation.
So that's the distinction you
That is the distinction
draw.
that we believe prohibits as a matter of law in the context of the Veterans Court because of the congressional mandate that the only thing that the Veterans Court is to be looking at on appeal is the content of the record as it existed at the time of the decision. And that this court must acknowledge the end around that was being attempted to be done by the VA in order to cure what was a conceded error. I don't believe I have anything further to say. Thank you very much, Your Honor, for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carpenter.